Second John. Second John, chapter number 1. The only one. Verse number 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thee, thy children, walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. And I beseech thee, lady, that not as though I wrote a new commandment of thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as we have heard from the beginning, we should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. We preached out of this just a few weeks ago, and I don't remember what night it was on love and truth. And we said that love and truth has come through the Word of God, and we see it here. But I want to preach just a few minutes tonight, if God will be a help, on this thought, the test of truth. How do you know truth? How do you know what truth is? How do you test truth to see if it's really true? Amen. There's a lot of things going on in the world today that they would proclaim as true, but it's not really true. But he said, John says here that we can know truth and know love because of Christ Jesus Lord, because what we know about Him. Amen. So truth, praise God. It's given to walk in. Amen. That's what he tells us here in verse 4. I said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. So it's something that's give us, it's not merely to be admired, but it's something that we can do, that we can participate in. And we walk in the truth of the Lord. There's so many people today that's not walking in the truth. Amen. We know the truth. We hear the truth. We know truth. We know what truth is. We know what truth says. But we're not walking in that truth. Amen. We need to be walking in that truth today. Praise God. So he lays it out for us so we can know how to do that. Praise God. He said, and this is that's one proof, praise God, of our love for God. Amen. One proof of our love for God. Look at verse number 5. He said, now beseech you, lady, that not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. That if we love one another, then it's proof that we love God. And if we know if we love God, that He'll help us to love one another. Now, this thing is reciprocal, praise God. It's continuous, it's keeping us going. And he says in verse number 6, he said, this is love. So what is love? That we walk after his commandment. That we just do what God says. Amen. Today it doesn't get much easier than that we just listen to God. Amen, praise God. We just begin to listen to him and follow his commandment. He said, this is a commandment that as we have heard from the beginning, we should walk in it. He said, Jesus said, I give you a commandment that you love your neighbor as yourself. And he upgraded that before he went out here. He said, hey, I'll up one on that. He said, I want you to love your neighbor as I have loved you. Amen. He said, I want you to show your neighbor, your family, your friends, some of the closest neighbors we got is our family members. And he said, we're supposed to love them like Christ loved us, to give himself for us. So we see this thing light out. So the test of truth this day, praise God, what is it? Amen. These false teachers have come in. Amen. And they're bringing in false doctrine. He said, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He said, look to yourself. In other words, he said, to observe accurately what's going on. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to what they're bringing in. Pay attention to what people's trying to tell you. Because sometimes the information ain't very informative if it's wrong. He said that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He said we don't want to be found caught short by not looking into the truth, knowing the truth, and the truth giving us the right information to make an informed decision, to know who to follow and who to not follow. Amen? He said, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. Now, what did we say is doctrine? That's biblical instruction. Amen? That's all doctrine is. People get blowed up if you say something about doctrine. Some people get all twisted. Well, we don't preach doctrine. Well, if you don't preach doctrine, you're not preaching nothing, because doctrine is biblical instruction. It's the instruction from the Word of God. Amen? So that's what we got to have. He said, it hath not God. He said, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come, now watch this, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. He said, so we can, in order to not be partaker in his evil deeds, we said, we don't even bid him Godspeed. Amen. When a Jehovah's Witness comes to your house, you don't tell them to have a good day. Amen. You say, well, preacher, that's just not right. It is right. Amen. Because they're spreading deception. They're spreading a lie. Amen. He said, how do you know? Because those that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Amen. So John warns us here. He warns this lady against even entertaining them that come and come and don't not proclaiming that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Amen. Now we believe that. We believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. There's a lot of people that don't. Amen. If you believe that. They say they have a Bible, but I don't know what kind of Bible they have, because my Bible teaches me explicitly that Jesus Christ came into the flesh. Amen. Came into flesh. He was born in a manger, laid in a manger. He grew up as a young man in Nazareth. Praise God. So we know that he came into the flesh. He warns, he warns the lady here not to even entertain them that come in like that. Praise God. Especially when they come in with their false doctrine. Not to believe them. Amen. So the old aged apostle, he gives an infallible test, a test of truth, a test of what truth is. So what is truth? The Bible tells us here, John tells us here, praise God, the one that was closest to God, the one that loved the Lord Jesus Christ, teaches that truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And him in the flesh. And his some humanity, praise God, in his early life. Verse number said that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. He says, so that's the doctrine. He said, if they come with any other doctrine, any other belief, any other ism, praise God, he said, you're supposed to disallow it. Don't believe it, praise God. He said, you can't partake in it. Don't even think about it. He said, because that's the true test of it, our faith, praise God, is the doctrine of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh. Praise God. The reality of his humanity. Amen. The reality of his humanity. I'll get it out in a minute. That's a mouthful. The reality of his humanity, that he came in the flesh. Amen. That he came in the flesh. So we know that he did. The Bible teaches it did. He said we confess that they confess not that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He said that's a deceiver and an antichrist. Amen. It's somebody don't believe. An antichrist is those that don't believe in Christ. Don't believe it come. People try to spiritualize it and say, well, Jesus Christ coming, it was just a spiritual thing. No, he was a real human being. Amen? He was a real human being who grew up, who suffered, who died, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for you and I. Amen? So the true test, praise God, of our Christian faith, praise God, the true test of a true doctrine is that Jesus Christ, he came in the flesh. Now the Bible says, just as he came in the flesh, is that he's coming again in the flesh. Amen? Now a lot of people don't believe that. They say, well, it's just it's spiritual. Amen? It's not spiritual, praise God. The Bible teaches that he's coming in the flesh. Over in Acts chapter number 1. In Acts chapter number 1, the Bible says this, and in verse number 9, he said, when he had spoken these things while they beheld, talking about Jesus, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. In other words, there's two witnesses. Amen? Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? He said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Amen? Now, he went. Did he not go up in a physical body? And the Bible says he's coming back in the same manner. He's coming back down in a physical body. Now, a lot of the world don't believe that. They think, well, it's just Christ coming and that he's going to come back spiritually and he's going to touch people and they're going to be saved. He is, and that's what he does. But the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ, praise God, he is coming. He came in the flesh and he's coming back in the flesh. And John says the true test of a believer is whether or not we believe that. Jesus said it. From Genesis to Revelation, Jesus said it. The Lord said it, and I believe it. And that's all I can say about that, praise God. He said it, I believe. I don't understand all of it, but I believe it, that Jesus Christ is coming again in the flesh. Over in Hebrews chapter number 9, it says this about the Lord. In verse number 28, he says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear, now watch this, the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen? So the Bible says that Jesus was here, that he left, and he's coming again, that he's going to appear in the flesh, that we're going to see him, praise, in the flesh. Amen? Over in Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter 24. He says, for in verse number 27, he says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For whithersoever the carcass, now he's talking about the return of the King in glory after the tribulation. He said, so wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. But now watch this. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Who's that? It's Jesus. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Amen? So what does that tell us? That Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen? Praise God. He says that's the true test of a disciple, true test, praise God, of truth, is that we believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. We believe in it. We believe he's coming back to this earth. So why do we believe that? Because the Bible says that he came to rule and reign. He hasn't ruled and reigned here. Amen. Some people believe that through the Lord Jesus Christ, it's just going to get better and better, and they're going to be a utopia, and then we'll all just fly away. But that's not biblical. He said it'll wax worse and worse, and in the end. Amen. Then there'll be a time of trouble that this world's never seen, that they're going to deal with the nation of Israel, praise God, because they rejected the Messiah when he come. Amen. He was supposed to be the King of the Jews, but they rejected him. But the Bible said that he's going to set upon the throne of his father David. Amen. That is not a spiritual throne, that is a real throne. Amen. And he's really going to set upon it, praise God. And God's going to get glory out of him. In Matthew chapter 25, he goes on and says this. He said, and he's talking about here the Lord in verse 31, talking about the Lord's return and testing of the Gentile nations. He said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, the throne in heaven is never called the throne of his glory. Amen? This is that earthly throne that he's going to sit upon. And said, before him shall be gathered all nations. Now, he's talking about earthly nations, earthly people. And he shall separate them one from another, the sheep divideth his sheep from his goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand and his goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed them, Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He's talking about that earthly kingdom, praise God, that he's going to set up. He's talking about the sheep are those believers, those that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on him. Amen. So we see it playing out here. And he said, John says, look, John tells us, they said, this is the test. This is the litmus test, praise God, of what we should believe. Amen. Said that he is coming back. If you look over Zechariah chapter 14, Zechariah chapter 14, summary of the events of the return of the Lord. In verses 1 through 3, we have the Armageddon. We have that great battle. Wait, God, when Israel's going to be shook up. And in verse number 4, he says this. People say, well, Jesus ain't literally coming back to earth. Listen to what he says. In Zechariah chapter number 14, if you've got an old Scofield, it's on page 978. And his feet, talking about Jesus, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Now, let me just clarify this a little bit. Me and Miss Teresa, we stood on the Mount of Olives. It is a real place in Jerusalem. Amen? And it said that Jesus Christ, he said his feet shall stand. Now, he didn't say he might or he could or probably would. He said his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst, therefore, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Amen? Praise God. He said he's going to water the land. Man, that great river is going to flow out of that. Now, you said the significance of that. I read an article today from Israel 365. I actually read it on the way home. Praise God. It came up on my phone. And it said that they're starting to pump water out of the Mediterranean Sea. They're starting to take whatever the process is, taking the salt out of it, and they're pumping it into the Sea of Galilee. And the reason they're doing that is because they're said at the time of the coming of the Messiah that there's going to be a drought in the land. And they feel the urgent need in us to begin to prepare for that drought that's coming. That tells me that they're looking for a Messiah. They're looking for Lord Jesus Christ to come again. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we need to be praying God's blessing upon that place, because if they're looking for him to come, praise God, the church goes out, they 7 years tribulation before he comes. It tells how close we're getting to the second coming of the Lord. Praise God. To the Lord's coming. In verse number 6 of Zechariah 14, it said, "It shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light." But now watch this, verse number 8. It said, "And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be." And now watch, look at verse number 9. "And the Lord shall be king over all the," what's that next word? "Earth." Amen. "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." Amen. So he said the true litmus test of a believer, praise God, and differentiates from a false teacher and an antichrist is one that believes that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, and he's going to set up a kingdom, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Amen. Now we can see this, we see the judgments that he has. If you want to go back over to Matthew, let's just clarify this just a little bit. Excuse me. Matthew, verse 25, verse 31. He said, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Now, what is this throne of his glory? Now, let's just say what this is not. This is not the great white throne judgment. Amen? You say, "Well, preacher, hey, we need to differentiate that, because it is not, I repeat, it's not the great white throne judgment." How do you know? Because the Bible says there's no resurrection. Amen. The great white throne judgment is a resurrection of the dead. Small and great. The persons judged are living nations. Amen. The nations. No books are open at this judgment. The great white throne judgment, the books are open. And another book. Amen. He said there's three classes represented here, or presented. There's the sheep, the goats, and the brethren. Those are going to be the ones that's going to be judged. Amen. The sheep will be those that are the Lord's that he's coming, the ones that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even through tribulation. The goats are those that were mean and hateful to Israel, never offered to help them. Hello? Amen? And the brethren are the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, the Jews. Amen. So what's the time frame of this? The time is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. When he comes to rule and reign, praise God. Where's the scene? The scene is here on earth. Amen. Hey, these exciting things fixing to play out all around us. We're getting ready to see the Son of Man, and she's appearing. We're getting ready to see the Messiah, praise God. We're getting ready to you say, well, preacher, what if it happens? What if we go out of here and he comes? Praise God, we'll get to come back with him. Amen. That's the magnificent thing about this. We'll get to come back to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. Praise God. What a magnificent time that's going to be. So if we see this and we apply this test, and we can apply this test to some of the popular religions in the movements in the day and hour that we live. Amen. The ones that deny the Lord Jesus Christ, that he ever lived, that he ever was. You got the Christian Science and spiritualism, Russellism, all those that deny the Lord Jesus Christ and deny his humanity. They deny that he ever was. Amen. Praise God. But he was. So what does this do? Praise God. It shows they've shown that as being against the Lord Jesus Christ. They're antichrist. They're deceivers. Amen. They're wrong. And they're the devil. Amen. But those that believe on Lord Jesus Christ and are looking forward to his appearing, those of us are excited about his coming, looking for that glorious day when we'll see him face to face. Praise God. He said, if there come any unto you, bring not this doctrine. Receive them not into your house, neither bid them Godspeed. Amen. He said that they're unbelievers, and they're trying to pass their unbelief along. Their false religion. Amen. Some people think, sometimes we think that, you know, religion's religion. And you know, just so they're religious, it's okay. Amen. Hey, listen, you can have religion to a fire hydrant. Man, a fire hydrant could be your God. There was a fellow going through therapy, and the therapist told him, so you know you've got to have a God. You've got to have something that you can count, something that's there for you every day. So outside of this man's house, there was a fire hydrant. So he put every bit of his confidence in that fire hydrant, that every day that fire hydrant, he could go to it and lay his hands on it. He could talk to it, communicate with it, and everything was good. But one day something happened. One day he heard a screeching and squalling the tires, and the next thing you know, car come flying right there, lost control, and run over his fire hydrant. Amen. Killed his God. Amen. So we have to put our trust, what John's telling us here, we have to put our trust in a true and a living God. A true and a living Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, who come to live and love, praise God, each one of us, and be ready for his coming, because he's coming. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number, number 13, he said, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, considering them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, because they're already there. Amen. They're with him. Amen. Those that sleep in Christ are with him. Amen. That body's out here in the cemetery, but the soul's already gone. The Bible said, the Bible in Ecclesiastes 12:7 goes, the body goes back to dust which it come, but the spirit goes back to God who give it. Amen. It don't linger, praise God. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, now watch this, for the Lord who? Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, a trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Lord's second coming is coming in two stages. He's coming in the rapture, take the church out, the bride of Christ, before that awful whooping comes on the world. Amen? Going to take His beloved away. She's not going to have to endure that. And then the tribulation set in, awful time of trouble like we've never seen. We need to be praying. We need to be praying. We need to pray tonight. There's been an ultimatum give to the Hamas in Gaza. Amen. Praise God. We need to pray for the IDF, the Israeli soldiers. They've been over 900 killed during this assault since the October the 7th. What a travesty. And we need to pray for them that there'll be no more. We know they will be because of tribulation, because of things they're going to have to go through and endure. Just pray that God will touch their heart and they become believers so that their time of trouble won't be so devastating, maybe. Even though God says it's going to be a time like we've never seen before. But God Almighty, Lord Jesus Christ, in that time of trouble, He's coming. And all the saints, the Bible said He's coming with all the saints with Him. Praise God. And they're coming to in the time of the Lord to rule and reign for that 1,000 years with Him. Amen. He said, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, and you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He said, they was a kingdom prepared, been being prepared since the foundation of the world. And they was a king that was prepared for that kingdom. And it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. Amen. Praise God. We just need to be getting ready, looking for it, expecting it till it comes. Amen. Getting ourselves ready till we can rule and reign with Him. Amen. As heirs and joint heirs with Christ on the throne, on His throne and in His glory. Praise God. What a magnificent thing it's going to be. Amen. Can you only imagine? All those that's gone on, praise God's outstripped us and went on to glory. And those of us, praise God, that are alive and remain, that'll be called up to be with them. Praise God. We're going to rejoice and have us a time. And then the Lord's going to gather us up. And He said, you know what? We've got to go back. He said, I love that little old planet, that little speck of dust down there. He said, I've got to go back down there and I've got to straighten things out once and for all. Boy, what a time that's going to be. The whole world is going to look up and they're going to see Him and recognize Him. They're going to see Him as come. He said, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Amen. Praise God. I see Him today in His glory. I see my Savior today spectacular. Praise God. In the portals of heaven, looking down upon us, praise God, anticipating the edge of His seat, the moment, the time when He can call us home to be with Him. Now He's gathering up folks one at a time, kind of like a precious bouquet that He might present unto Himself. But He said, He's coming today, praise God, when He's coming. Amen. And He's coming back. His feet's going to hit on the Mount of Olives. Boy, what a time. That's going to cleave in the midst. You say, how could that possible be? Because He is the King of glory. Amen. He's the one that created it all. And whatever he wants it to do, that's what it does. Amen. And that when His feet hit them, I can't even imagine it. How that thing can just cleave in the midst and them mountains are gone and that living water will flow from the throne room of God there, from Christ's throne and fall down through down into the Dead Sea. And it'll become living waters, full of life. Amen. And it just blows my mind that Israel is starting to pump that water out of the Mediterranean, pump it over into Galilee. Amen. To try to be ready when Messiah comes. They're looking for Him this time. They should have been last time. Amen. They knew all about it, but they weren't ready. Amen. I wonder how many of our people today there should be looking for Him, but they're not, and they won't be ready. Amen. We ought to be ready. Whether He comes in, where He comes in the rapture, He comes, praise God, comes to takes us through death. We ought to be ready. We ought to be ready. We ought to be expecting. We ought to be looking for Him. We ought to be looking to Him. We ought to be praising Him, giving Him glory. Amen. In high expectation of a soon coming Savior. Amen. He's coming again, just like He said. Amen. Whether you believe it, I believe it, or whether anybody believes it, praise God, it's going to happen. The Lord Jesus is coming again. Are you ready tonight? Amen. In the book of Luke, it said, in Luke 21, it said, when you see these things begin to come to pass that we're seeing, He said, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. He said, getting close to a soon coming Savior. He said, we're closer than we've ever been to Jesus coming again. Amen. We've been through a lot of things. We've been through different wars and different aspects of things. But we've never been to a place that was just quite like we are right now. And with anticipation in my heart, my soul, I'm longing, desiring, praise God, to see my Savior. I'm expecting Him any minute. Amen. I'm expecting to see the Lord any minute. And I'm ready to see Him. I'm ready to be with Him. Amen. I hope you are. I hope our family members are. I hope our loved ones are ready. Because it could be today. Before dark tonight. And that won't be long. Amen.